Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Global from Asia, episode 130. And as always, show notes are at globalfromasia.com/episode130. How's everybody doing today? I'm on a quick stop over back home in Shenzhen after almost a week in the Philippines. It was a really amazing time meeting with Josh, my partner there, and the SEO office, and getting some good traction there. So it's amazing time, getting some good ideas from people too. And I'm deciding to go on every other week release for the podcast here. It's the summertime. I know a lot of people are doing traveling as well. The downloads have been a little bit lower than normal, so I think people are just going to be catching up, and I'm also going to be traveling a lot. I'm going to Thailand for a wedding and then going to be going to Barcelona and Prague. So I think we'll go every other week for a while and see how you guys like that, and keep me posted. All right. So now let's get into this week's show. We are talking product specs, or as we call them here, tech packs. Saral comes on the show and he's got a startup in Hong Kong. He gives us some ideas, insights on how to better prepare for your manufacturing in China as well as anywhere in the world. So let's listen and enjoy. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have with us here Saral Kochar from techpacker.com. Thanks for being here, Saral.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very fortunate to be here with you, Michael.
Yeah, I'm glad we got connected. A listener, Frederick from ChinaImportAll.com, introduced us. So it's great to connect with you and get you on the show. So you seem, I was checking out your LinkedIn and some of your background, and it seems like you have plenty of fashion experience as well as manufacturing experience, some time at Li & Fung and American Eagle. Do you mind to maybe introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Yes, but right before I do that, I must say your podcasts are great and very informative.
Oh, cool.
I heard a few of them, especially the one with Dr. Neil O'Connor.
Oh, nice.
I've actually met him a couple of months ago at Prime Source Forum, and his research and his interviews, but he would always be interviewing you, right? So it's the first time I've ever heard his own interview, because I know that he has done 2,000 plus interviews.
Yeah, he's the expert.
But it's the first time somebody has actually gone and interviewed him. So it's just perfect.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
So it was very informative. I loved it.
Awesome.
Now, jumping on to about my passion for fashion, I actually come from a very traditional textile family in India, where my grandfather started his trading and textile business in a very small town in 1950s. Then his kids came and took the business over, spread it around in different regions of India. And then the third generation, which spread around the world and did pretty much the same within the textile and apparel businesses. So our family is in textile mills, printing, finishing, garment production, etc. Well, I was growing up, since I was surrounded by this work and culture, so somehow I kind of didn't think of doing anything else than fashion. So I went to study product design development from London, and then I started working for this company called American Eagle in New York. I mean, I love denim. Denim has always been my passion, and somehow it always kept me excited. So while I was working at American Eagle, we used to go to these flea markets in West Coast, US, Japan, and Thailand to find the very vintage looking denim, a very destroyed hipster denim.
Yeah.
And then we would try to replicate that and mass produce with the same effects in factories in Asia. So it was very challenging, because on one end, you have this one jeans which one person wore for 5 years and has this beautiful washed look on it, destroyed look. And then you try to make in millions of jeans, try to replicate it, which look alike exactly the same. So I love this idea of doing that. And that's what kept me passionate in fashion.
Great. Cool story. Yeah. I mean, I was checking out your site too, and definitely you do have plenty of denim. So that's amazing. And it's so true. I think, you know, with China, with manufacturing, I mean, every product is just so different, right? Like, you got to really kind of learn deeply that type of a product is like denim. You know, some people might think I'm not picking on denim, but everything seems so kind of like obvious at the front, but there's so many different details, like you're saying, the color and the wear and style and the cut. And I'm not totally sure to terms, but everything is just so detailed. And that's why I think a lot of listeners should always try to focus. We try to talk about that on the show too, you know, to find a niche and to find something to become an expert at. So you just mentioned you're from India. You mentioned American Eagle in New York, and you're now in Hong Kong with your latest venture. Maybe first, we're curious, how'd you get to Hong Kong?
Sure. So Hong Kong happened because I was working in New York, and I was always, I always wanted to learn what happens actually on the ground, the sourcing side and product development and production. Because while working in a design center, you know, you have these vendors will come to you, describe the products, and then will tell you, oh, it'll cost this much. But you don't know exactly what's happened behind the scene. Right? So I always had this desire in me that, okay, I have to go and work on the factory floors because that's how I grew up. So at that time, China, this was back in 2007, China was booming. You know, a lot of production was happening here in China. And one of our vendors, which is called Lianfeng, it's a trading company based out of Hong Kong.
Pretty famous, pretty big one, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, I approached them and I said, hey, I have worked here. I have studied this. Can I have an opportunity to come and work in your Hong Kong office? And they were very... helpful. And they said, yes, sure. We have, you know, you can come and work here. So I moved to Hong Kong and started working with them. And after a year, American Eagle decided to set up their own office here in Hong Kong, a sourcing office. So then I, after a year, jumped with them again. And we started an office here in Hong Kong.
Cool. Great. So that, yeah, I mean, definitely I agree with you. I think Hong Kong is a great place. You know, it's like, right between the factories and the international markets. And it's cool how you took initiative and reached out. I actually just got a message yesterday from a listener and he's trying to get over to Hong Kong or China to get a opportunity. And he's asking me where to start. I think it's true, right? If you just kind of approach somebody, a company, and you have relevant experience and maybe some suggestions on how to improve their business or to add value, it still works.
Oh, yes, very true.
Cool. So Tech Packer, where did this idea come from? Maybe a little bit of the story of your startup?
Sure. So this idea was, since I was already in this sourcing business, within the fashion industry, then I had these friends who were actually my colleagues from my company back in New York. And then they moved around. This is now after 5 or 6 years. And some of them started their own fashion brands or trading companies. And since we were already in touch, they knew that I'm here in Asia. So they got back in touch with me and said, hey, can you help me source some fashion products or develop some with the factories here? And I was like, sure, I can get you in touch with the factories. Those I know, those who are good in manufacturing and would be able to help you with your smaller quantities. So I got them linked up. After a couple of months, both my friend and the factory came back to me just one day after another. And they all, very angry at one another. The friend was angry at the factory. The factory was angry at the friend because the quality of the samples that were getting made were not according to what he wanted. So designers somehow always like to describe things very, they're very emotional people and they like to describe things in an emotional way. Right? So they would describe fabrics this is the kind of touch I need. This is the kind of feel I need. Whereas on the factory end, they need things to be known in a very technical way.
Tangible and real, yeah.
So they're very realistic people, very practical people. So somehow there was a communication gap between the two. And I was, since I wasn't too much involved into this, I was running my own work here. So then I said, okay, I remember... before we used to use this documentation, which was called Tech Packs. So how about we, set something up in an Excel, you fill out all that details in there, and then we'll hand it over to the factory and then see what comes back with. So at least we would have some sort of documentation, a kind of a contract, which we know exactly what you need, and a factory would go ahead and produce it. That helped, that helped in... of course, the first sample wasn't the great one still, but then at least they know that, okay, these are the things I asked for. Maybe I didn't ask it clearly. So on both ends, it helped in documenting all that information. And that's how the idea started for Tech Packer. So we made many iterations from there on. It was only a side project. It was only to help a friend. And gradually we learned that there is a need within the market itself, not just to create these tech packs or these design documents, but also to manage your product development to production. So there wasn't any easy to use, we call it a product lifecycle management solution that was available. Okay. So that's how TechPacker grew up to become documentation and working together tool, at the same time managing your product development to production.
Okay, got it. It's interesting. I like, because you kind of like started, yeah, with a problem and, you know, a market where, you know, if there's other entrepreneurs listening, I know a lot of times people have their own idea and they think it's a problem, but, you know, they build it first. But you kind of seem like you were seeing an issue and you started with Excel, right? So you didn't really program anything at the early stage, right? You kind of just built it out as it grew?
Yes, because for us, it was a need. Mm-hmm. It was we were looking for something and then we started whatever was available and then grew up from there. And we even tried to contact existing suppliers. But for example, there's a company called Gerber. We tried approaching them. They're way too expensive. And for a small company like us that we were growing, it's very hard to buy licenses. Mm-hmm. And run a business like this. So that's where, you know, we couldn't find anything which was an easy solution. We jumped onto Google Documents as well, actually, okay, in order to keep things aligned. But even that was hard because it's so open. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't define it clearly. So it has its own challenges.
Great. So you have a team. So you're one co-founder with you, or how's your team structured?
Okay, so I have two co-founders. One of them is Sam. He's based in New York. And how I found him was one day my parents brought this weird-looking baby at home and shared all my love and attention. So he's my brother.
Oh, okay, that's easy. So
that's how we're together. And then the other co-founder is Josie Tam. She grew up in Hong Kong. And I've met with her here in Hong Kong in this event called Barcamp.
I've been there. It's been around for quite some time. It's always a good one to network and meet people. Yeah.
Yes, it's a great event. I mean, it was a very funny story. The way we met is, so it's the Barcamp. It's the first time I'm going there because one of my friend recommended, hey, this is something cool, go check it out. So in the morning I go to this event and then they have this huge list of people who are going to be doing speaking during the day. And they ask you, hey, if you have something to speak out, just put your name on it and they'll allocate a room. And then people who find that interesting would come and hear you. So I just put my name on the wall just to speak about fashion technology because it was so many people. It was very hard to network with one another. I didn't know how many people come from fashion industry. So I just put this, my name on the wall saying that I'm going to be speaking about fashion technology. I was very unprepared. No idea what am I going to speak about. And they allocated this room to me and it was early on in the morning.
Okay.
Apparently 150 people showed up in this room and I seriously had no idea what to speak about. And I have 1 hour. They actually shifted my room from a smaller room to a bigger room. And then I have this huge projector, a huge stage to speak on. Now I was very confused. So I said, okay, now that I have to do it, how about we all just introduce ourselves? That took about 45 minutes, just people sitting there coming and introducing themselves. What do they think is the new fashion technology? And somehow I met Josie right within that event. But it was great because it brought everybody who was interested in fashion technology come together.
Yeah.
So it was perfect.
Yeah, just for those that might not have heard of Barcamp, it does sound like a weird name because it has bar in it, but it's... I think it actually stands for, I don't know if you even know, but Bay Area Rejects. So in the Silicon Valley or San Francisco, they have conferences that would be very uptight. So originally started out at being outside of the Bay Area and maybe go camping or be the unconference. So the idea is people can go to this bar camp and like you did, just put your idea on the wall and they divvy up the rooms and or the area and people that want to hear or talk about that topic and go there. So it seemed like, yeah, there's definitely a lot of interest in your idea or your topic. So that's really exciting. And there's always stories like this of people meeting there because I guess it really does a good job of just kind of getting people together and integrating them. So very cool.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was called Bay Area Reject. That's such a cool...
Yeah, that's where the bar comes from. Yeah. So I learned that later too, but yeah, it's barcamp.hk and there's a good team organizing it. It's been going on for quite some years now. It's great. So, all right. I want to admit a little bit. I'm a little bit pretty familiar, I think, with factories, but I never heard of a tech pack. Is that a new thing? Is that maybe, I know you mentioned a little bit in your introduction, but maybe share with people that might be like me and not know what a tech pack is.
No, it's okay. I think it's normal because some people call it a tech pack. Some call it a technical packet or specification sheet.
Yeah, specifications is what I think of. Yeah.
Yes. So it's similar in different industries. It's called different with different names and within fashion industry as well. Like in Europe region, they call it spec sheets. In American region, it's more tech packs. It's been around for a while. It's been known in different ways. But anyways, the first time you get to any new factory, you would go and tell them, hey, I want certain products to be made. The first thing they're going to ask you is, can I have your tech pack or specification sheet? So that they know what is your exact requirement. They can quote the prices based on that. And it would be your kind of a contract in knowing what do you actually need. So a tech pack would have all the information about your product, starting from your sketches, your materials, and your measurements. So that's all those details would go into a tech pack and a factory would know how to make it for you.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I think just to always try to make listeners understand that it's very important, I think, this part, right? Because I think sometimes there's these newer buyers that, I hate the word just, but they think they can take a current product and just change something in it. But, you know, it doesn't work like that. Like you were mentioning earlier about factories, they want to know exactly. So any kind of modification, you know, you might think it's just, but it does change the product quite a bit. So yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like, yeah, I was checking, like I said, check out your site and you're still in like a beta right now. And, or there's some things I can see, but I think people got to sign up and wait to get real access. Maybe you can share, like, I was seeing a lot of fashion, and seems definitely your passion. Is this tech pack business for fashion specifically, or can be used for other goods?
Yes, I think majorly it's used in fashion products, but also in home furnishing, clothing, accessories like bags and shoes, hats, jewelry, pet accessories, wearables. So a lot of different kind of products that we see gets made on TechPacker itself. Okay. We have seen products like these little braces for kids with bone problems. So there's a company in Germany who's using TechPacker in order to make that. Some very cool wearable watches as well. So a lot of different kind of products. All right. Because the concept remains the same, right? You still need to show your sketches, tell the materials, and what is your exact measurements. So anything that falls within this, you can put that on TechPacker and put it together.
Cool. So yeah, I think this is important. Of course, you know, we talk about your business too, but I think for anybody, they should know about making the right design. So you mentioned jeans, and I also have it listed here to talk about, like, maybe you have this new, you think you got the newest, coolest idea for these hipster jeans. How would somebody go about maybe starting? Should they draw it on paper or computers or physically samples or?
Sure. So I think, first of all, I'll just clarify that TechPacker is not a design tool, but it's a tool that helps you to communicate clearly to your factories and colleagues, right? And at the same time, work together with them through product development to production. So what I mean by that is you need some sort of sketches or images of the design that you want. And then you need to know what kind of fabrics or buttons, just a basic idea that you will be using. And then all that information, you can put that together on TechPacker to create a tech pack that you can simply send in a very standardized form that a factory would need. And you can just pass this document to them in order to get them started.
Okay, got it.
So if you're talking about, let's say, hipster jeans, you would need to have some sort of sketch or an image. You would just have some idea of fabrics, buttons. You put those together, the measurements in different sizes. It would actually do the grading for you in different sizes, like small, medium, large, XL. You want to make in different sizes, it would do that. Or you can just go to this public library that we have, an open source library. You can just pick these different components. We call each component as cards. You can just pick these cards, put them together in your tech pack, and get it going.
Cool. Interesting. So let's maybe educate some of these listeners a little bit. So maybe they've never made their own product. Maybe they're selling online or Amazon or, you know, their own website, but they want to make their own. Let's keep it to fashion because that's your expertise. So I do understand that's not totally your platform, but what would you advise somebody to maybe start designing their own fashion?
Sure. I think the one thing that we have learned over the years, and this has been, I mean, I'm lucky because I get to have a lot of mentors around me. I get to hear from a lot of people around me, like yourself and Frederick, our common friend, who keeps guiding us on, you know, how to, especially on the entrepreneurial path. But one thing we learned is to, and a lot of people do make early mistakes, is they keep the design within themselves and they take too long, keep iterating it instead of going out there, sampling it and testing it. And I think the same is valid for, you know, software industry and hardware industry, and same is valid for fashion industry as well. That if you have an idea, I think it's very good to quickly put that out on a documentation, pass it on to a factory, let them give you price quotations. If everything works out, create a sample quickly and start showing, have people wear it, try them on and see what results comes out. Put a price tag to it, see if people would pay for it.
Okay.
So somehow it's also valid for fashion entrepreneurs as well.
Great. Yeah. I mean, this is the way of lean, I guess, right? Like lean, just making things that the market wants without investing so much money and time, you know, hiding it and behind closed doors. So like you said, even Google Docs. So I guess it's just writing down the exact material type and then writing, you know, maybe drawing it on paper. So it's materials and like maybe the style. You said like the look and feel.
So how it works is understand it correctly.
Okay,
you mean how would they come and create a tech pack on TechPacker?
Maybe that, or just I have no experience honestly in fashion. So like I always think of a CAD design. Like when I've done injection mold plastics, and I've done other things, but maybe I just feel like fabric and materials seem a little bit different. So I guess I'm just curious. Like, of course, they can use your tool, but what are the main components for a tech pack? I guess what should somebody have to prepare to give to the factory to make maybe their own clothing line or jeans or fashion kind of thing?
Okay. So I think it starts with, of course, a sketch, just a basic sketch of what your product is going to look like. And if it has more details to it, like how, if there has a special pocket or special tearing on the knee or a certain design of the back pocket that you would like to have. So you have to show that clearly as sketches. And then the second part is the materials. So if it's denim, then which kind of denim, whether it's heavy or light. And you can always just specify it first and say, okay, I need heavy denim in cotton. And then can you please send me the samples for approval? So this way there's a two-way interaction, right? So if you're not prepared early on, but it's always good to, you know, mention it that you need this kind of material. So people do understand, because there are thousands and thousands of different, if you just say 100% cotton, heavy denim, there were so many different types. So the more detailed you are, or even send them a little swatch of it. And then it's the third part is the measurements, of course. So if the clothing product needs to fit properly on the body, so it requires, you know, detailed measurements. That's, for example, on the waist, on your hip, on your thigh, that inseam length, what would be the exact measurements for your samples? And let's say size medium. And how would they change when you use size small to large to XL? So all that information needs to go together on your documentation.
Great. Thank you. That's really great. And you mentioned a little bit of some of the mistakes. The mistake, of course, is to maybe get so detailed and hiding your idea ahead of time. And maybe, so you're saying like working with the market, is there other mistakes, or do you want to expand on that mistake of, you know, just to save some of these listeners some of the headaches that they might go through?
Yes, I think we have to first understand that when you're early on in the industry, it's rather better to use as many resources as you can instead of, you know, just you keeping things within yourself and trying to reinvent from early on. So that's why, I mean, like, if you have a design idea, go and show it to a couple of factories and ask them to create samples, because in this process, they would tell you a lot of things that you wouldn't even know about. They would tell you a lot of mistakes and would avoid, you would be avoiding a lot of mistakes that you would be making early on. So, and also, if you don't know pattern making, just ask a factory to create a pattern for you. So use their resources. They're there to do it for you, right?
Yeah, this is great.
So I think it's. I mean, I've seen many entrepreneurs who are very smart early. What they do is, as soon as they have an idea, they just go straight to the factories, two or three of them, say, hey, this is my idea. Can you send me a sample? And then they learn through within this process itself. Yeah. One may not do right, the other one, because it's a very small investment you're making just in creating a sample.
Got it. Yeah. No, this is very valuable. And so then the Chinese factories, like you mentioned Google Docs, and I think you're aware, like Google Docs doesn't work inside China, and mostly the whole outside internet doesn't work inside mainland China. You know, would your system work? Is it working there? I mean, or do they need, how much does a factory need to be involved with the systems? And of course, it's very intimate, right? They need to really know all the details. So I guess they'll access your system and maybe just share on the factory side.
Yes, sure. You're very right. It's that's one of the big pains of working in China is the Google doesn't work. Hopefully in future that would improve. Let's hope. But at this point, Google doesn't work. There's a lot of complications in accessing the documents together. At the same time, a lot of Chinese factories, I mean, right now they are modifying themselves. So yes, they are becoming more they've started to use emails, which is great. They've started to use, you know, the other communication channel, but within China itself, like WeChat. I hear that you guys do a lot of work with WeChat as well.
Yeah, everything is WeChat.
Yeah, so there's a lot of development happening on mobile, in mobile side. But if factory needs to, TechPacker, of course, works in China because that's how we have set our system. There was one complication, we had it earlier. Mm-hmm. But also, since, you know, a lot of, especially a new factory that you'll be working with, may not be inclined to say, okay, I'm going to start using the system from day one. So in that case, you just create a tech pack and send it over to them, and they'll receive notifications on emails, and they can always reply back through email itself. So it just uses their own workflow, what they have currently, and integrates within TechPacker itself. Okay. In future, we have plans to also launch it on phones, so mobile applications, and also WeChat, how to use integrate within WeChat. So it makes it even easier to work together with them.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, of course, like you said, China basically is WeChat. I don't know if I said it on the show, but I kind of believe they're going to become like Android or iOS. I think they're just going to become their own operating system. Basically, they are, I think. But it seems like anybody doing business with China has to be forced to do WeChat. So it's just the reality. Oh. It's exciting stuff. But I love the idea of open source and you know, everybody helping each other. But of course, I think, you know, we should address some of the ideas of maybe is there a time to protect your IP or protect your designs, or, you know, what maybe is there some kind of suggestion maybe at the beginning you kind of, or do you keep on going open, like, I guess we'll call it open source, or is that a clear enough question? I mean, to protecting their IP and.
Oh, yes, sure. So first, very early on when you were, you know, looking into, as I mentioned earlier as well, that it's very important that you have, whenever you have an idea, you start collecting, using other resources, those who have already experience out there, who are already experienced in doing those work, and gather their thoughts, learn from their experiences early on, right? So that's where TechPacker and our team itself is a big supporter of open source. I mean, TechPacker itself was made through many different open source projects in software industry. So we put together all of them. So we were always very, thankful that there are so many resources available in tech industry that you can just simply integrate it together and start using it. And they are IP free. There's no, the people who make it, they contribute towards it because they want others to come and even make it better. not just hide it amongst themselves, right? So if you create certain libraries, other people come and contribute towards it. Same with us. If we use something and if we develop it, then we contribute back to the community. I mean, it has done wonders for tech industry. That's how it's just moving so fast. But in fashion industry, we couldn't think of many companies who actually support this idea, who believe in coming together and working together. And now, especially at a time when we have to build innovative products for our next generations, when we have to build wearable products. I mean, why does Google has to make fabrics with circuits on? Why does Apple has to make watches? Why does Google has to make glasses? Why can't a fashion company do that? It's because we haven't mastered this idea of working together. And that's where we believe that, okay, for us, we have to take a standpoint where we say, okay, we should have an open source working environment, which we encourage. So we give this free model to our users that they can come and use TechPacker for free if they keep their tech packs open source, where others can contribute to it or use the information and make it better. Now, if we also understand that some don't like to do it, especially if you have a groundbreaking ideas, which you feel that you still need to work it privately on. And for that, they pay a price of $20 per month to keep things private.
Yep. I saw that. Well, yeah, I could feel your passion on that answer. So it seems like you're really trying to do great things for the fashion industry and kind of catch them up with the technology industry, right? So this just seems like kind of leads into my next question pretty nicely. Like, we've had, you talked about Dr. Neil O'Connor on a show, and he's talking about 3D printing and the future of China manufacturing. So I'm wondering how you think about with fashion and this technology revolution. I could take a TechPacker.com design and print my clothes, or 3D, is that like something that's also in the works? Because I kind of think of 3D printing as plastics or injection molding, or is that maybe a future thing? Basically, kind of like, what do you see the industry going with manufacturing for fashion?
Okay. To answer this, I think one important point that you already mentioned is since in 3D printing, there are still constraints of the material type that you can use. And in fashion industry, of course, especially for garments, you need to have, like, if I'm making something with silk, right, it would drape and fit differently if I use a fibrous material or a paper to print it on 3D. So there are still constraints of doing that. But we have already started seeing shoes industry is doing great, especially in their first mold, when it's designed, the soles. We've already started seeing 3D printing being used there. Jewelry is another area where 3D printing is used early on. I feel like even the handbags would start using it because it can still replicate with a certain kind of leather. But in apparel, it still has constraints. There was this one designer from Israel who created a 3D printed dress, but it's more like these chains of different plastic molds that comes together. So it's still early on. We have to see how the developments would work. But at this moment, 3D is more of just your initial idea, how to put that together. Now, coming to TechPacker, whether you can do that through TechPacker, not at the moment. Yes, because as I said, there are already constraints with 3D printing on fashion industry itself. So if you create a TechPack, it wouldn't recognize, the 3D printer doesn't recognize the file format. So here we usually work in just PDF formats.
Got it. All right. Interesting. I mean, you're definitely in a very hot industry and right in the middle of it. So I definitely wish you luck. And I thank you for coming on and sharing. So about TechPacker, what's the current status? And how can people get involved? And
It's already launched. We launched our beta version last year in May.
Okay.
So great. It's been used by more than, I think, nearly 5,000 fashion companies around the world in 86 countries. More than 25,000 have been built using TechPacker. So there are more than 200,000 cards that have been made on TechPacker. So it's already developing, going through its own pace. Yeah, and for people to come and join, of course, it's anytime you go to techpacker.com, simply sign up, get started.
Awesome. Then that's all I have right now. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing, Saral.
No, loved it. I got to learn a lot from you too. Thank you.
Okay, cheers. thank you, Saral, for coming on, and thank you, listeners, for listening. It means a lot to me that you're here on the other side of this microphone and enjoying these shows. So please take a second to thank the guests, shoot them a quick note, or through your website if you enjoy them sharing on this show here. That's all for this week. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I got to get back to packing my suitcase. I do have some video blogs. People like those too. It's mikesblog.com. It's always a mix of business and personal. We have some Philippines travels there, some other things happening in Hong Kong and China, and as I go on my trips. So check those out too if you're interested, and enjoy the rest of your week, everybody, and see you soon. Peace.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.